and we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Celebration. Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
Hello, I'm Maren Johns, and happy Intersex Solidarity Day.
Yes, and it is Trans Awareness Month, and Anne is away this week, but we'll be back next week and for many subsequent weeks until the end of December, when you'll be back again, Maren, for a couple of weeks.
Right, I hope everyone's not disappointed when they tune in and Anne's not there, but I am.
No. Come on, we're all in this together. We're all in this together. We're all brothers and sisters. And we're very encouraged by the election results in Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, and Pennsylvania.
Yes. We have George Santos survived an expulsion vote in the House.
Yeah, they had a chance to get rid of him, and they didn't. A mayor slash pastor in Alabama took his own life when he was exposed as a crossdresser.
And we've uncovered that some book banners were seeking criminal charges against librarians for making porn available to minors.
It's getting out of hand. We've got some gay firsts in college basketball and the NHL.
And Hungary freaked out over a very innocent art exhibition that showed elderly LGBTQ Filipinos.
The gay games got underway in Hong Kong amidst controversy, and in Guadalajara, there are two sites this year.
And in more international news, President Biden has suspended Uganda from a trade pact over its kill the gays law.
A gruesome and macabre anti-gay crime in Senegal.
And Andy's going to fill you in on, hopefully, some treatment for gonorrhea is nearing approval.
And Maren and I are going to review Annette Bening and Jodie Foster in NIAID on Netflix.
Must be uppercase, Andy. Must be uppercase.
But, oh, yes. But but we start with the election results. How about it? Great night for our side. I just heard that 148 LGBTQ candidates won nationwide. We are not going to list all of them, but you can go to victoryfund.org for the list. But how about that vote in Ohio, becoming a very red state, but abortion is now enshrined in their state constitution, the seventh state where voters have upheld reproductive rights in referenda.
Yeah, if Ohio can do it, other states can do it.
Absolutely. And then it was very encouraging to see Democratic Governor Andy Beshear get reelected there in Kentucky.
Kentucky, that's deep red. What a win.
It is deep red. He won over the Attorney General Daniel Cameron, who they obviously both spent a ton of money, but Cameron spent $5 million just on anti-LGBTQ ads. And
wow.
That did not get him over the top over Andy Beshear, who, is an outlier there in Kentucky. His father had been the governor, so his name was rather famous, and apparently, did a great job because the other statewide offices went overwhelmingly to Republicans.
And Andy, can you break down Virginia for us? Because I think there were like 9 winning candidates. What's your take on why so many?
Well, the big news in Virginia is that the anti-LGBTQ Republican governor, Glenn Youngkin, has been rebuked. Democrats not only held on to the Senate by one seat, as they had before, but they took back the House of Delegates from the Republicans. The Republicans spent $500,000 just on anti-LGBTQ ads. So this is Youngkin threw himself into this. This is, going to make him a national figure. He's going to get both houses of the legislature and, that's going to boost his stock, and he's going to maybe run for president and all that stuff. Mm. But now he's back on his heels. Now, in some of the races, Donica Rome, we have a picture of Donica, transgender, has moved from the House of Delegates to the Senate and is the first out trans senator in Virginia, the first out trans senator in all of the South. Out Senator Adam Eben was reelected. 6 out LGBTQ candidates were elected to the House. And then we've talked about this in Albemarle County, where Charlottesville is, the school board race. Both sides spent $100,000 on a school board race.
Unbelievable.
And Allison?
Yes, you remember us talking about this Meg Scalia Bryce, who was campaigning against Alison Spillman. Alison Spillman has won. And you might remember that Spillman has a trans child. So that is very good news for us.
And Democrats also won back the Loudoun County School Board in Virginia. So all that, these school board elections, it's crazy that people are spending all this money on them. But the right wing is very invested in this because this is how they rev up the base by taking over the school boards. And all, that. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to Florida.
This was great news. Patty Sheehan won re-election to the city commission, fending off the right-wing opponent.
Which one is Patty Sheehan there? Oh, yeah.
Blue jacket. Sitting down. And, you know, you'll remember probably that Sheehan was the first out elected official in 2000 in Florida.
Yes.
This is her seventh term. And to celebrate, she did this to the opponents by having a drag queen at her celebration party at the gorgeous wine bar.
Daryl Stevens, a famous drag queen down there. And Fort Lauderdale down in Florida got its first out LGBTQ police chief, a guy named Bill Schultz. The mayor of Fort Lauderdale, Dean Tratilis, is also an out gay man. And by the way, for the picture of the drag queen and Patty Sheehan, I want to thank our viewer, Rich, for sending, he personally took those pictures and sent them to us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rich. Okay. In New Jersey, Luann Peter Paul, that is her name, is the first out LGBTQ woman elected to the state assembly. And in Pennsylvania, a Democrat won the seat on the state's high court, keeping it in a 5-2 majority. And the picture up there is what happened in Philadelphia. Rue Landau is, this is kind of hard to believe. In Philadelphia, Rue Landau is the first out LGBTQ city council member.
I find that so shocking, Andy. That's the last big city in America to have an out council member.
Very strange. But they also got their first woman mayor. We've never had a woman mayor here in New York. And they had their first woman mayor, Cheryl Parker. And she was very much supported by the gay community. And then we talk about these school board races in Pennsylvania. In central Bucks County, Pennsylvania, Democrats took back the school board from Republicans. They're the Republicans who had banned the pride flag in the schools and banned a lot of LGBTQ books. So all that's to the good. And also the city of Leslie, Michigan, population 1,933. Approved an amendment to the city charter prohibiting discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity and other things. 92% of the voters in this rural town said yes to this, to civil rights. So I think it's becoming a loser for the Republicans to attack us on these things. They're not gaining anything.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then, you know, we're taping right before the Republican debate, which is in Florida, right? This time. So Equality Florida has taken out an ad against Ron DeSantis, and we're going to show that to you now.
Mm-hmm. Hurricanes are a part of life, but now there's an even more destructive force.
Ron DeSantis
signed a bill banning abortion in the state after 6 weeks of pregnancy.
Ignoring Florida's real problems while ripping books from school libraries, emboldening racism, targeting LGBTQ kids, censoring history. As DeSantis continues to wreak havoc, it's time to come together and build a future that includes us all. Join us.
That ad is going live today in select markets, I think, Andy. And I know they've sent out a social media toolkit, so hopefully it'll get a lot of coverage and go viral.
Well, we're doing our best here at Gay USA to make that happen. So, I mean, how do all these election results make you feel? Going into 2024?
I feel a little bit hopeful. I mean, enough's enough. What's happened with the Republican assault on us through all of these bills is that they're really attacking us at a grassroots level and often a small town and county level. And I think they're going to get a little more backlash than people anticipated.
Yeah. Well, we can only hope so because, you know, a lot... almost everybody has an LGBTQ family member, whether they get along with them or not. I mean, they know us now, and it's harder to do. But they are politically trying to erase us.
They are, but the problem is children. I mean, when you attack children, when you weaponize children so that you can't go to a theme park anymore because there's Nazis picketing out there, or you can't go to the school library in safety because there's a book ban. I mean, it's life in this country is hard enough, let alone trying to raise children and step around political landmines while you're trying to do that.
And also, how do you think all this makes the kids of LGBTQ parents feel when they see all this bigotry on display all the time? It's not nice. Speaking of not nice, we talked a lot about Mike Johnson, the new Speaker of the House, or I guess he should be called the pastor of the House of Representatives, and it's all bad. But what else did we learn about him? I don't think we mentioned that he is attributed. I heard this when I was a kid from right wingers. Rome fell because of homosexuality, rampant homosexual behavior, according to Mike Johnson. That's a quote from him.
I mean, it's a cliche. That's an old white male, straight white male history book view. Not to mention all the other egregious sins of the Roman Empire. That's the one that they had to seize upon. Yeah. You know, imperialism run rampant, complete ignorance of other cultures. Not any of those things. But the other thing about Johnson that's fascinating is his financial disclosures that have been released. Have you heard about this?
The man. Go ahead.
He's a top-earning, attorney who doesn't even have a savings account, a checking account, a crypto account. Even I have a little bit of crypto. I mean, he's got no stocks, no basic funds, nothing, apparently.
I think he's hiding something. I think a lot of us think he's hiding a lot. Out-representative Congress member Richie Torres from the Bronx wrote that Mike Johnson's sense of history is as horrendous as his homophobia. Mike Johnson's wife, Kelly, told Fox News, God has placed him here. It's biblical. The Bible says he raises up leaders and he brings them down. I mean, take it easy, lady. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's just too much.
Yes, that's a lot of pressure on poor Mike.
I guess God raised up a lot of LGBTQ candidates across the country, 148, right?
That's right.
All God's will.
It's the passing.
Where it happens, it's God's will. Come on, take some personal responsibility. It's okay to worship your God, but keep it private. All right, let's update people about George Santos.
Well, yes, George Santos, as you said, we had the chance to get rid of him, and they didn't. The final vote was 179 to 213, which is, uncomfortably close, I think. Ahead of the vote, Santos defended his right to the, quote, presumption of innocence. He's facing 23 charges, including wire fraud, and he's still clinging to that old story that he is Jew-ish and can't get the records because of the war in Ukraine.
Well, next week, the House Ethics Committee they said they've done a lot of work and interviewed a lot of people, 40 witnesses, and they're supposed to come out with some kind of next steps on November 17th. But it actually wasn't that close a vote because you got to get a 2/3 vote if you're going to expel someone.
I just would have loved to see a landslide there. It just looked too, for me, it was just like, oh, really? How can people be even that divided? But yeah, it fell short, so.
Well, look, they're all saying the same thing, which is, wait until the evidence comes out. But I mean, it's evident to everybody. House Republicans also continue to stuff the appropriations bills with anti-LGBTQ amendments. The Interior, Environment and Related Agencies bill contained a license to discriminate riders, letting people and organizations discriminate against LGBTQ people under the guise of religious liberty. Thus, if a Park Service employee wants to refuse entry to a same-sex couple because of their religious reasons, that would be okay. They also added pride flag riders, prohibiting flying pride flags at covered facilities under these agencies. And it also prohibits DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. So just awful. All right, a federal judge in Florida, I just learned this, dismissed a challenge to the state's ban on trans girls and women in women's sports. So that's going back and forth, may end up in the Supreme Court at some point. All right. How about this story in Texas? Did you read the story about what happened at Sherman High School?
No.
Okay.
Catch me up on that one.
Well, they had a production of Oklahoma, and the guy who got the male lead, Curly, in the student production at Sherman High School, is trans boy.
Oh wow!
Was very excited, and then they just said, you can't play that role. Because you're trans. His father, his name is Max Hightower. His father said his son is devastated, but is ready to fight. The district also postponed the opening from December to January, citing the mature themes in Oklahoma. Now, Oklahoma's got some serious themes. There's some violence and all that. But wow, Oklahoma was the Broadway show. It opened in right during World War II. And it's kind of the show that Americans clung to, Americanism and nostalgia for the past and all this kind of stuff. I mean, it's the show is more than that. It's got wonderful songs, but that is the way they're treating it like it's Lady Chatterley's Lover.
Right. I mean, but also, like, I went to a single-sex school. I went to a single-sex high school in which, it would have been bizarre not to have some kind of fluid approach to casting school plays and variety shows and things like this. I mean, it's just mind-boggling as far as I'm concerned.
Did you take on any pants roles, as they say?
I mean, I can't even remember, but all of it was so burlesque-y. I mean, it's kids performing. I mean, they're being somebody they're not. Come on now.
Right. Also in Texas, the man charged in the fatal slaying of trans Malaysia Booker, 22, in Dallas in 2019. This was a very famous case. She got into a traffic accident and a whole gang surrounded her and beat her up. And then they had a rally there and she stood up for herself. But some days later in 2019, she was killed. So this guy, Kendrell Lyles, 37 years old, was sentenced. He pled guilty to 48 years in prison. And now prior to the murder, but I shouldn't say that. Lyles was known to frequent an area to meet trans sex workers. But he's also charged with two additional murders in nearby counties. So this guy is quite a character. But he will be in prison for most of the rest of his life.
Wow. Shall we move to Alabama? Speaking of people with multiple lives, this story was just incredible to me.
Very sad.
It's sad. It is sad, isn't it? In Alabama, a small town mayor, Bubba Copeland, he was a grocery store owner, he was a mayor, and he was a pastor. He's taken his own life after he was exposed online for, I suppose, cross-dressing and also posting things to the internet on Reddit and such formats like that about, erotic fiction about transitioning and being a quote-unquote transgender curvy girl, Brittany Blair. So this is the mayor of Smith Station. He was 62, and after a slow police chase, he did shoot himself. He's a father of three, and right after he was exposed, he told congregants that he had been the subject of an internet attack, so that this wasn't him living a double life online. This was sort of somebody out to get him. He said, "The article is not what or who I am. I apologize for any embarrassment caused by my private and personal life that has become public." He said, "This will not cause my life to change. This will not waver my devotion to my family, serving my city, serving my church." But unfortunately, it did.
There are so many heterosexual men who like to cross-dress. I mean, that's called transvestism. And, they don't identify most of them with the trans community, but it's something that turns them on. And that makes them feel better about themselves when they do it.
I mean, it's hard to know what he was. It's hard to know how he identified. He did say his wife knew about it and it was sort of like fun that they had. And it's not known. I don't think he has any record of anti-LGBTQ public messaging. So
he was Baptist preacher, but not in the Southern Baptist Church, but he was a Baptist preacher.
My takeaway from this, Andy, is just the sadness I always feel at right-wing people who live double lives because they can't fully integrate all the parts of themselves.
Well, most people who engage in that kind of cross-dressing, they don't really want to be out in public about, well, they might want to walk in public, but they don't really want to be known for that, as opposed to people in our trans community who do.
Although, look at Eddie Izzard. He did go from cross-dressing to he did transition. So you just never know. This is somebody's journey, and he didn't get to make the full journey, obviously. So
it's all we want people to be able to be who you are,
yeah,
and not be ashamed.
Yeah.
All right. In Des Moines, Iowa, it has come to light that some residents tried to bring child pornography charges against the West Des Moines School District, targeting the books Gender Queer and All Boys Aren't Blue, calling them pornography. Terry Patrick is a Moms for Liberty candidate for school board there. Since the attempt to bring criminal charges, the state has since passed a law making book banning very easy. But these two in particular were banned. So, she's now running around saying any book that has sex in it is pornography, which includes the Bible, of course. Though she said we might make exceptions for extreme classics, like the Bible, I guess.
I mean, goodness me, define an extreme classic. Terry, apparently she lost her run for the school board, by the way. I heard. She was, that was yesterday, and she did lose, but she is listed as the education chair for the Polk County chapter of Mums for Liberty.
And she's very upset that she's gotten so much publicity about this. All right. We want to talk about the CEO of Target.
Yeah, I thought this sounds like a bit of a throwback, but Fox News did report that Target CEO Brian Cornell went on the telly the other day, CNBC, where he actually discussed the retail giant's horrific experience about all the backlash they endured from having those pride items that they were selling, whether they were, swimming bathing suits or T-shirts or ball caps, all that stuff. But he actually said that employees felt more unsafe at Target than they did during the COVID pandemic, the George Floyd riots, all the Black Lives Matter protests. Any other time in their living memory, they felt most frightened of being in the store working during that backlash, which I thought was pretty shocking. He said he's got 10 years history with the company and he can tell you this is the worst.
And so the right wing fires back and says, well, you've made it unsafe for us to bring our children into your store where they have to see gay stuff. He said that it's unclear how they're going to handle what they call heritage moments in the future, like Pride, Black History Month, or Latin heritage. He said they may time them differently. I don't know what that means. Maybe they'll celebrate Pride in December. I don't know.
I don't know. That's a tough one, actually.
All right. A grim story out of Florida. A guy named Herbert Swilly, 55 years old. His husband, Timothy Smith, 59, was found dead in their Ocala home, brutally murdered. And Swilly went on GoFundMe and raised thousands of dollars to help him out, help himself out in the wake of the murder. And now he's charged with first degree murder in his husband's death, also charged with witness tampering. A mutual friend told police that Swilly had a history of violent outbursts. Smith was remembered as someone who wanted to empower others and for his kindness. Now, it's a terrible story, but it's also a good time to note that, domestic violence is a problem in all communities. And it was good to see even our horrible Supreme Court poised to uphold the law denying firearms to those convicted of domestic violence. Even Amy Coney Barrett said, oh, you know, we don't want to give guns to people who are committing these kinds of crimes. The only sympathetic voice of the court was, of course, Samuel Alito. All right. In Virginia, the Republican Attorney General settled a lawsuit with a wedding photographer who refused to do a gay wedding based on his Christianity. State cited the SCOTUS decision, the Supreme Court decision, in the favor of that web designer who didn't want to design web, you know, wedding things for gay couples. He was represented by this guy, by Alliance Defending Freedom, which is Mike Johnson's old outfit.
Yes.
Oh, Johnson, by the way, and his 17-year-old son have anti-porn software on their phones. Did you read about this?
No.
Oh, they watch out for each other. It's something called Covenant Eyes, so that they can see what's going on each other's phones. And okay, you want to do that, all right. But there are national security concerns that he's letting a third-party tech company
scan
all of his electronic devices.
Absolutely. That was just incredible.
Admiral Rachel Levine, who is the Assistant Secretary of Health at HHS, a transgender, met with New York City's anti-violence project, Beverly Tillery, over there, and she declared hate a public health issue, whether fueled by homophobia, transphobia, or racism. The administration, the Biden administration, plans a community safety partnership providing resources to local LGBTQ communities to prevent and respond to threats. So especially if you're out there around the country and this is a problem in your community that you'd like to fight, because we need anti-violence projects all over the country, think about looking into what kind of funding might be available from the federal government.
Yeah. Is this a good time to mention what the New York governor's doing?
Sure.
Offering a few avenues of new or increased or expanded funding for trans care. And this is in honor of Transgender Awareness Month, which is, of course, this month. Our governor has announced a couple of actions, I think three, Andy, to expand the funding for the Lorena Borges Transgender and Non-Binary Wellness and Equity Fund. And the Offices and General Services and Employee Relations take action to strengthen the workplace. That's the other thing, because as we know, accessing the workplace as a transgender person is incredibly difficult and non-inclusive at the moment. This will be for state employees that identify as transgender. And I think also there's going to be some state landmarks are going to be lit and the transgender flag is going to be flown on the Day of Remembrance, which is November 20th.
Everything from the World Trade Center, or whatever they call it now, to Niagara Falls are going to be lit up in one of the colors, pink, white, and blue.
Yep.
November 20th is the Transgender Day of Remembrance. But again, on this show, every day is the Transgender Day of Remembrance. And you mentioned Intersex Day of Solidarity, which is the day we're keeping today.
Also, it's alternatively called Intersex Day of Remembrance. It's also known as that. But this is an annual observance, November the 8th is today, to raise awareness of the human rights issues faced by intersex people around the world. And, of course, the main one is medically unnecessary, non-consensual interventions in the body are violations of human rights.
And I was encouraged watching the morning show, CBS Sunday Morning. They did a whole feature on this, interviewing a woman who was born intersexed, and yet, you know, they always want to go in, the doctors, and fix you and make you one thing or the other, even though it doesn't align with who you are. I mean, they want to change the way God made you.
It's kind of ironic, isn't it? It's almost like the mirror reverse of transgender. You know, here we are saying we need to intervene, you know, in intersex people and gender assign them the way we want them. Oh, but you can't choose, you know. So it's really questioning.
I learned a lot from it. Okay, let's talk about sports.
Oh yeah. Well, are we talking about the Seattle Kraken's Justin Rogers? Do you say Kraken or Kraken? Kraken.
I say Kraken. Both call the whole thing off.
Well, Seattle Kraken's Justin Rogers is the first publicly out NHL support staff member on the bench. And he did it in a very interesting way. He wrote a letter to my younger self and he put it on the team's website, in which, of course, he addressed himself as a teenager. I don't know. Do I want to read this, Andy, or do you want to read it?
Well, no, you can read a little bit of it. Sure, go ahead.
Sure. Dear younger JR, becoming the best you will take time and understanding that knot in your stomach, the one that makes you feel confused, isolated, lost in the world, invisible to everyone but you, it will slowly loosen. You don't even understand the knot, but with time you will learn things about yourself and fulfill dreams so many others like you feel they cannot. You will accept yourself as a gay man, creating a life authentic to you while welcoming others into it. I mean, I won't read the rest, but he basically summarized the steps that this younger self would go through, including coming out to his family at Christmas using a series of index cards in 2014.
Yeah, he handed out index cards to everybody. That's how he came out over Christmas dinner.
Yeah, 2014. Yep, and then 8 years later, coming out to the team, the team, and being accepted. So I think this was really good to go through the different plot points and the necessary steps. And he, of course, came out to friends a few years after the family. But I thought that was encouraging and really quite moving. What do you think, Andy?
And then let's go to college men's basketball. We have to emphasize men's because in women's, there's been a lot of out people. They had their first out gay coach. His name is Matt Lynch. He's 32 years old at the University of South Carolina at Salkehatchie in Waterboro. It's a Division I junior college with no scholarships to offer, but he still has managed to recruit 14 players. There they are. He said it amazes him how something that I once tried so hard to change has now become such an average part of my daily life. And this is in South Carolina. His team won their home opener versus Chowan University, where Lynch had been an assistant, 97-58.
Nice.
Encouraging story. Hmm. And also encouraging, want to talk about what happened at the Kansas City Council?
Oh, you mean with the homecoming queens?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, 17-year-old trans student Tristan Young faced an onslaught of right-wing hate after her peers at Kansas's Oak Park High School voted to crown her homecoming queen. This was, I think, when was this now? This was 2015.
Tristan down the left was this.
Tristan's on the left, and then, but preceding her was Landon Patterson. This was 8 years ago, yes, 2015, when she became the first trans girl to take home the crown of prom queen. So to show support for both of these young women, the Kansas City Council has issued a proclamation honoring the two of them and dedicating LGBTQ History Month, which you know was last month, to them.
And they are very brave. A guy named Justice Horn, who was the chair of the Kansas City LGBTQ Commission, wrote, "I uplift this against the transphobic comments against this young person, Tristan, who was named queen by their peers. I'm so thankful the next generation of Kansas City is so kind." All right. Trouble in California. We pass a lot of bills there. Great, great legislation, overwhelmingly Democratic. Proponents of three ballot initiatives to restrict the rights of trans youth are now free to launch their petition drives for the 2024 ballot. They need over 500,000 signatures for each of them. The attorney general, who's on our side, Rob Banta, has to title and summarize the initiatives. But he's also waging a court fight over the focus of one of them that compels school districts to forcibly report trans or non-binary students to their parents without permission. The second one eliminates students' rights to participate in school activities consistent with their gender identity. And a third prohibits gender-affirming care for minors. That's what he is titling these things.
Are these bills, so these petitions, these ballot measures are all being put forward by, is it Protect Kids California? Is that who's behind this?
That's what they call themselves.
Yes.
They don't really care about kids. Yeah. All right. Shall we go to some international news?
Yeah.
Take me to Hungary.
Oh, I was going to also say Lauren Boebert. Did you hear about her?
Oh, yeah. Go for it.
She's apparently being haunted by the ghost of Beetlejuice. She's now got some serious, I think there's four candidates who are gunning for her now for next year. But the one that's being blessed, if you like, is first-time candidate and attorney Jeff Hurd. He's a Republican and he's going to challenge her. And he's got the it's Colorado's third congressional district, right, in the primary. But he's got the blessing from a chap called Ty Gates, who says that he believes Hurd can do a better job representing the rural counties' residents than the incumbent Boebert has. He says, "I'm not very pleased with Lauren," Gates said. "I don't think for our rural community, the only time we see her is when there is a campaign or something like that. Honestly, I don't feel like we're getting the support and our voices are being heard. And I think Jeff can do a better job at that, you know, because she's, you know, vaping and fondling her date's genitals in the theater."
Well, that's the thing. She's sort of, you know, I mean, she's an awful person and she's awful 24 hours a day. But what they're getting her for is sex, basically.
Yeah, it's like she's making a mockery of people who, look, good luck to him, Jeff Hurd. I hope he does well.
Well, okay. But that's the Republican guy who's running against her. Actually,
there's two Democrats, isn't there?
A guy named Frisch is running again against her. He almost beat her the last time. So I would hope, and actually if they can get rid of Boebert, it might be harder to take the district.
Right.
All right.
Did we want to do Obit before international or do we want to do international?
Which Obit are you talking about?
Andrew Lumsden, I think.
Oh, we do have an international news, yeah.
Well, you do, okay.
We'll get to the end here.
Okay.
But in Hungary, the culture minister of this neo-fascist country, where some of my people are from, fired the National Museum director over a photo exhibit that documented a community of elderly LGBTQ people in the Philippines. We have one of the photos that, oh my God, it's so controversial.
Yes.
It's about older LGBTQ Latinos who have shared a home for decades and cared for each other as they age. Some were in drag. The minister said it violated a law that bans display of LGBTQ content to minors. Mm-hmm. The director of the museum, Laszlo Simon, was fired, and a notice was put up at the Hungarian National Museum restricting access to the exhibit to over 18s. Simon is a member of the ruling Orbán Fidesz party, says he respects... He rejects the charge that he violated the law or that children needed to be protected from the exhibit.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. Those photos are in an anthropological light, if we can even still talk about that as a kind of genre classification anymore. But they're clearly not, you know, celebrating or LGBTQ identity in any way that you could even associate as being dangerous to children. The photographer who took, the actual woman who took these photos, Hannah Reyes Morales, has said that she's beyond saddened. Speaking to AP, she said, "What is harmful is limiting visibility for the LGBTQIA community and their right to exist and to be seen."
Well, Viktor Orban, the fascist leader of Hungary, is also rather sad because his allies in Poland lost the last election, and he's not going to be king of Europe. Hmm. But the gay games are underway, and they're not in Europe. They're not in the Western world. They're in Hong Kong and Guadalajara. There's a bunch of them in Hong Kong, and this event is being attacked by the Beijing-installed patriots-only government there. Eight lawmakers called for the games to be scrapped for spreading Western ideology. The Gay Games co-chair, Lisa Lam, said all local laws are being followed. Now, go ahead. Attendance is apparently down. No previous games had fewer than 8,000 participants. There were 2,381 in Hong Kong, 2,458 in Mexico. The next games are in Valencia in 2026.
Valencia. That's going to be a lot of fun. Those will be great.
Yeah, you're going?
I would love to. I've never been there, but
What's your game there, Maren? What's your sport?
I'm probably better off as a spectator. Let's be honest. I'm not a sport.
Anybody can participate. By the way, Taiwan's athletes, they had a choice of Guadalajara and Hong Kong, and they didn't pick Hong Kong, which is in their neighborhood. They went to Guadalajara. They feared for their safety in Hong Kong.
Wow. That's so sad.
Well, the whole thing. It's a sad world these days, isn't it?
Yeah. All right. I'll go to Valencia and I'll play table tennis. I think I can make it right. That. Yeah.
Okay. You know, we told you about how the Jamaica High Court upheld the anti-buggery law there, right? Mm-hmm. So Maurice Tomlinson, the famous activist from there, who has fought for, there he is on the right with his husband, Tom Delker. He's fought for 7 years to get that law overturned. And he says, I'm done with Jamaica. I'm going to stay in Canada. I'm fleeing multiple death threats. Other gay Jamaicans have paid with their lives. He now works as a nurse, caring for bruised and battered people.
It's so sad. It wasn't the story that he had to go home to Jamaica because his parents were ailing and he wanted to care for them as they died. And to feel like he can't even be safe, he cannot. I mean, you'll correct me if this is wrong, but I think one in three Jamaican men who have sex with men have the HIV prevalence is the highest there per capita of that group in the world. And this is ignorance.
It's so repressed. I believe Outright Action International, or Outright, the group that deals with gay asylum seekers, LGBTQ asylum seekers, I think the biggest number here come from Jamaica.
Yeah.
People just want to get out.
Well, you can be put in jail for 10 years in Jamaica for even holding hands with a person of the same sex in the privacy of your bedroom. So that is one hell of a law that needs to be overturned.
All right. President Biden is standing up for us. He suspended four nations from a trade pact to promote economic development in Africa, including Uganda, for gross violations of internationally recognized human rights, citing the recent Kill the Gays law. Now, Ugandan officials are very defensive about this, calling it a violation of their rights to get suspended. Hey, you're not entitled to this aid. Russia and China, of course, will trade with them without regard to human rights. They also suspended were Niger and Gabon, which just had military coups, and the Central African Republic, which just scrapped their limits for its president.
And also in Africa, not only do you have to kill the gays, you have to kill them again. In Senegal, they dug up a man from the cemetery after they discovered that he had been gay, and then hundreds of people gathered to set his body on fire. They've arrested four suspects, just four. Who knows what all of these other people standing around are going to, what justice they're going to have to face. But this is incredible. The man was 31 years of age, named locally as Sheikh Fall, I think. He was buried in a cemetery in central Senegalese town of Kaolack on Friday evening because he wasn't allowed to be buried in his hometown of Touba, which is in a holy Islamic city. So first of all, he couldn't even be laid to rest where he would have liked to be laid to rest. And then they dug him up from where he was.
It's grotesque, of course.
Yes.
Even the local religious leader called the burning, reprehensible. And they are taking action against some of these people, but it shows you it's a very popular thing. I mean, of course, the guy was already dead, but it reminds me of the lynchings in the South that happened forever. That's why the NAACP was formed. They used to not only hang people, but burn them, and there'd be big crowds standing around cheering and taking photographs with them and all that.
Yeah, shocking.
We mentioned Poland. Yes, a coalition of centrist and left parties beat out the reigning reactionary ruling party. But that Law and Justice Party is trying to hang on somehow, trying to create a myth of a stolen election. Sound familiar? Hey, and how about what happened in China? They just had their Women's Congress, right?
Oh, goodness me. Yes. Now, this was a doozy. So this is meant to be the Women's Congress, but who has the prime central position is Xi Jinping, country's leader, sitting center stage at the opening of this National Women's Congress, which isn't really for women's equality at all. Instead, they get a lecture on the appropriate roles for Chinese women. He says we should actively foster a new type of marriage and childbearing culture, adding that it was really the role of party officials to influence young people's, young women's views of, you know, a state-sanctioned love and marriage, fertility and family.
They're going backwards. And for the first time in two decades, there are no women in the ruling party. It's the only party in the party's executive policymaking body. None, no women. China going backwards. All right, now let's talk about this gentleman we lost last week in the United Kingdom. He was his name is Andrew Lumsden. He was 82 years old. He was the founder of the United Kingdom's first LGBTQ publication. It was called Gay News. And he was a very early Gay Liberation Front activist there in 1970. So he has died. After doing a story with the Times of London on the Gay Liberation Front that the editor forbade to be printed, he decided we got to have our own paper. Yeah. We, of course, had similar problems with the New York Times. The gay paper that he founded was sued under the 17th century blasphemy laws that were not repealed until 2008 because they published a poem about a centurion being in love with Jesus. They got the paper fined £1,000 and a 9-month suspended sentence for the editor.
Wow.
Lumsden was an organizer of the first Pride March in London in 1972. My friend Peter Tatchell there called him a friend, comrade, and hero. One of Lumsden's early protests was against Notting Hill Pub called Chepstow that was supposed to be gay friendly but barred a drag queen from entering. So 20 guys showed up in drag and had a sit-in, and they all appeared in drag before the magistrate, except for Lumsden because he liked to wear a jacket and tie. He said, my way of upsetting people was to be flagrantly gay and looking exactly like an ordinary office worker. He was a leader of Queer Tours of London, preserving our history, and he's survived by his partner, Stephen Plissold. And we have a little bit of video from him from 1971.
Wow. If there are 3 million, perhaps, of us who are homosexual in this country today, there will be another 3 million 10 years and 20 years from now, and 50 years from now, no doubt, as the population goes up, there'll be even more. These people will be brought up. They are children today, many of them. They're not going to be corrupted by me or any of us sitting here. They're just going to become homosexual. And if their parents are going to go on being brought up in such a way that they have to look the words up in a dictionary, which may get it wrong, or so that they feel an instinctive, as they think, deep horror, then more cruelty, more suffering will be endured by adolescents and later by mature people who simply can't talk to their own people.
All right.
There's oppression of other kinds too. I mean, it's not always easy to pick the worst example straight off, but ones that come straight to my mind are the way that we are slandered, constantly, endlessly, perpetually slandered. The very worst people who are heterosexual, the sort of Gilles de Rais characters who murder children, the Marquis de Sade and so on. Now, the entire heterosexual community, amongst which I also have most of my friends, they are not constantly accused or taken to be typical of these very strange historical characters, but always homosexual people in the ordinary, the media, in casual conversation, are taken to be like the most extreme variants of their sexual taste. And in fact, the vast majority of homosexuals are probably very, very ordinary people in every conceivable sense of the term. They hold all political opinions. They are of all colors. They are of all backgrounds, all classes. And they are, on the whole, indistinguishable
from
the population.
You are a self-declared homosexual, Andrew. Now, has this made life hard for you?
It hasn't made life hard for me in the least. But I think that there are two obvious things to say about it. In the first place, why should I bother to declare it? And what could be more absurd than the idea of a self-declared heterosexual?
Indeed. So a great leader, a great pioneer, and a sweet guy.
Yeah, Cambridge educated. That's where that fabulous accent and brain comes from.
All right, some AIDS news.
Yes.
Hey, I just read that the U.S. House of Representatives, as bad as it is, they defeated an amendment to eliminate HOPWA, the Housing Opportunities for PWAs. That amendment failed 279 to 140. All right. And we got and there's a new antibiotic on the horizon that has proven effective in its last remaining it's the last remaining treatment for gonorrhea amid mounting fears of how drug resistant the infection has become. It's the second most common STI, and only a combo therapy of injected antibiotics and an oral one are working on it now. In my day, I used to go and just get a shot or take a pill. But the results from a late-stage clinical trial of the new one called Zolofodacin showed it was effective. It's the first new treatment in decades, and it could be on the market in 2025. CLAP, or gonorrhea, has gone up in the United States 28% from 2017 to 21. It can infect the genitals, the throat, the rectum, especially common among adolescents and young adults, and disproportionately among gay and bi men. In women left untreated, it can lead to pelvic inflammatory disease and ectopic pregnancies, and it can also raise the risk for HIV infection. So the ultimate fear is that eventually gonorrhea could prove wholly untreatable. So maybe use some condoms. Hmm. Right. And the American Society for Reproductive Medicine, you have this story?
Yeah. What do you make of this? So they've sort of redefined, changed their boilerplate language about what fertility is. It's a new definition, basically, infertility, rather. So infertility, they now define as a disease, condition, or status characterized by any of the following: the inability to achieve a successful pregnancy based on a patient's medical, sexual, and reproductive history, age, physical findings, diagnostic testing, or any combination of those, and the need for medical intervention to use donor gametes or donor embryos to achieve a successful pregnancy. And, you know, look up this report if you do want to find more. But, Andy, I was interested in asking your take on how you see this affecting gay men, for example, who want to have a child through surrogacy, or lesbians, or transgender.
Because the issue is we can't get it covered from insurance, because they say you can only get covered for fertility treatments if a couple has tried to get pregnant and they can't.
Right.
You have to try naturally for months. Well, we can try naturally forever and we're not going to get pregnant.
But do you think, I think that's the law in 21 states, but now that the ASRM are saying that it's also a status, I felt that that was potentially good news for us.
It's absolutely going to help LGBTQ people who are trying to use get fertility treatments, get it covered by insurance, et cetera.
Very good.
Right. Entertainment news. You said you had a late breaking story?
Yeah, I don't know if everyone remembers this incident with the Oscar-winning screenwriter Dustin Lance Black. He was accused of grabbing a BBC presenter by the name of Teddy Edwards at a nightclub in central London in August 2022, and like grabbing her, throwing a drink at her. She threw a drink at him. She had to twist, and then the drink spilled on her. It just seemed like nonsense to me, but anyway, she took to social media and then charged him with sued him for assault. Anyway, the good news is he has been acquitted of that in the London Magistrates Court in Westminster. Judge Louisa Chichura says that she could not properly convict Black. His latest project is Rustin, which is coming to Netflix. So it's out on Netflix, isn't it, Andy?
It comes out on November 17th.
That's right. Very soon.
I think it's out in theaters now.
Yes, that's right.
Now, we're going to talk about the Diana Nyad film, but in my AARP magazine, I read about her. She's been out since she was 21. I've been madly in love three times, and I'm still close to each of those women. Let's talk about the film that is on Netflix now, Naiad.
Oh, I mean, this film was, I mean, look, it was, whatever you think of Netflix.
Well, let's just say it. That's Annette Bening playing Naiad, and that
Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster, Bonnie Stahl.
Yeah. I mean, look, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm not a huge fan of these endurance narratives because I find them so uncomfortable and traumatic. I mean, she puts her body through hell. It's absolutely punishing what she goes through to make that famous swim from Cuba to Key West.
Well, she tried it several times and failed, and because she's swimming without a cage, a shark cage, and she did it when she was 64. So it's a story of survival and perseverance and also, it's a love story.
Yeah.
She says she doesn't want to love.
I'll tell you my highlights and then you tell me yours. But for me, Jodie Foster was, I mean, Annette Bening's fantastic. I'd watch her, you know, read the laundry list. But, I mean, the treat for me that I wasn't expecting was Jodie Foster's portrayal of Bonnie was just so, I know that lesbian. Do you know what I mean? I know that lesbian best friend. And it was just so lovely to see Jodie so comfortable in her own skin as Bonnie. So that was terrific. And then I don't want to spoil the ending, but there is a scene at the end which just made me feel so good about our community. So do watch it and do stay to the end. What about you, Andy?
Naiad. No, I can't really add anything to that. I think it's terrific. And check it out. And by the way, Annette Bening last week received GLSEN's Advocate Award at their annual benefit, and her son Stephen Ira is trans, and she said, "You do not want to make this mama mad," calling out the right wing's anti-trans crusade and labeling it for what it is, a tool just to rally the base, which didn't work in this election, did it? She hopes love and compassion will lead the way toward queer joy and celebration and all the way to the ballot box.
I love her so much. I think this is at least the second time she's played a lesbian. The other one is The Kids Are All Right, which I thought was just terrific.
Yes. What's going on with Boy George?
Boy George is coming back to Broadway for a limited engagement. He is going to be taking over the Titus Burgess role in Moulin Rouge. This is going to be in February next year, 20-year absence since he's a little bit of a debacle with that other musical Taboo.
Yeah. And another thing coming to Broadway in April is called Lempicka, a new musical about the bisexual Polish-born artist Tamara de Lempicka, who lived from 1898 to 1980, starring Eden Espinosa. We have a picture of the, and that's a picture of the two of her with Rafaela, a Bohemian sex worker who was one of her models and obviously one of her lovers as well. So, wow, it's going to be quite the lesbian fest, and we're out of time.
Uh-oh.
Thanks for being with us, and we'll be back next week.
Thank you so much, Andy. See you all, guys.